I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund. So this must be the next page. Hey, Marissa.
Hi, how's it going?
It is going outstanding.
Good.
And it's a good thing I'm not outstanding in the rain. No, it's not raining yet, but I just saw an alert come across my phone that said severe thunderstorm watch.
No way. Where I am sitting right now, it is sunny.
Same here. So maybe that thunderstorm watch is somewhere else, but nonetheless, I'm still outstanding.
Well.
Because I get to do another podcast.
Absolutely.
This is our second episode of our second year, mm-hmm. So this is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And today we're gonna talk about, well, last week we talked about commitment.
Yes.
But I have noticed there's something we haven't talked about for a while, and that's food.
Food?
I don't know why that is. Food. Oh. We used to talk about food routinely.
I was actually
because
just
remember,
thinking
I'm
about
one of
that
those
too.
People that, yeah, I'm one of those people that lives to eat. I don't eat to live, and I'm not talking about food. So maybe we need to start thinking about like favorite barbecue recipes or something.
Well,
that would be cool.
I know you used to ask me what I was cooking because I was going through a phase where I was cooking different things. So I can share since it's summer now, and we've got especially if you're in our area in New York State, a lot of different, salad greens and lettuce and all that is in season.
Strawberries
right now.
Are ready.
Yep, strawberries. Yep.
My wife just told me strawberries are ready.
Yeah, they do. They it's that time of year. But I will say that I've been finding some great salad recipes lately.
Wow.
So
cool.
That's kind of been my new what's cooking, I'd say.
Okay.
Got a different.
Now I can't let you forget because I think you were going to make your meatballs that have sweet potatoes.
I know. I was thinking about that. Yeah, I was thinking about that today too because, as most of our listeners know, I'm quite pregnant at this point. And I was just thinking I would love.
Yes, you are.
I would love to make meatballs and sauce, but it's hot out and I don't have air conditioning. So
don't do it now.
But you know what? That is a good reminder that I need to do that.
Okay. So you do that, and I'll have my daughter, and I'll make you a gluten-free cake.
Ooh, yum.
How's that?
That's great. Could always use cake.
Okay. So now, as Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. Mm-hmm. But that's not why we're here. So last week we didn't talk about food, but we did talk about commitment. So today we're going to talk about overcommitment. And the title of this week's email/blog post was, Is Overcommitment Stealing Your Productivity?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a lesson that I learned the hard way. And I'm still learning it. Those that are around me a lot know that I still struggle with overcommitting and trying to do too much. And that came out in some of our emails or our podcast that came out in May. Where I went through a Dave was miserable period kind of thing because I had overcommitted. But I want to talk about an event that happened in 2006. I know that's a long time ago. I was the president of Self-Lock Screw Products. I had probably been president for a year and a half, 2 years. Things were going actually pretty well. The company was beginning to do a nice turnaround. The team was functioning quite well. And my family and I had planned every summer we go to Virginia to Eastern Mennonite University because our church denomination has a conference there. And I've gone almost every year since I was 6 years old. I think because my parents used to take me. I think and I'm 56. So I think I've got this summer will be my 48th visit to this conference. But anyways, so we're ready to go. The car was packed. Chores were done because we typically leave like on a Sunday morning to go to this event because it runs from Sunday evening through the following Saturday. My boys and I love cars, so we always try to go out at least for an evening to the Nationals car show at the fairgrounds. And I noticed as I was walking out there that I had a shortness of breath. Couldn't figure out what was going on. The next thing I noticed, we decided to watch the burnout competition and the grandstands was still around back then. So I'm walking up a couple steps, the grandstands, and I'm trouble getting up those steps. And I noticed that I'm getting this pain radiating down my arms from my shoulders. So then I didn't say anything to my kids then, my boys then. And then as we were walking back to the car, the pain started shooting up the side of my neck. And I mentioned it to my boys, and of course they're not stupid. They're thinking these are the signs of a heart attack. So, but they, I just said, let's just go home. So we went home, and they mentioned it to my wife, and my wife sends me across the street to the neighbor to take my blood pressure. He was an EMT. He probably felt I wasn't going to do anything about it. So he called my wife as I was walking back to the house and said, take him to St. Joe's. So I get to St. Joe's. Long story short, I did not have a heart attack, but I had all the symptoms of a heart attack. I ended up spending the night there. I ended up having them give me a shot in my belly of Coumadin or something, some blood thinner. Ran a whole bunch of tests, did a stress test, and the bottom line was the stress in my life was actually causing the muscles in my chest to constrict on my heart.
Wow.
Because I had a couple of these episodes where it wasn't a heart attack, it wasn't life-threatening, but clearly stress was getting the best of me. I was working a lot of hours, and I just thought, well, I'll work my three. You know, I was 44 at the time, 43, 44. I don't drink much. I have a glass of wine once in a while. I don't smoke. I wasn't that overweight. This didn't make any sense to me. So I just figured, well, it's okay. I'll just keep working. Well, I didn't learn my lesson, and it came back to haunt me later on. But what I was falling prey to was what Michael Hyatt calls the hustle fallacy. Now, Michael Hyatt was a former CEO of Thomas Nelson, now has his own company and actually a great podcast. I'm going to put a link to his new podcast in our description because it's awesome. And he just did a series of podcasts on this topic of overcommitment and those type of things. But in that one of those podcasts that I was listening to and listening to Michael talk about the hustle fallacy, it's interesting that when we, so I was working long days. You asked me before we started recording, you know, how many hours, and somewhere between 55 and 60 hours of work. However, when I left work, I never was not thinking about work. And I had some other responsibilities in my church denomination that I mentioned to you before we started recording, that on one 11-week period, I was traveling 9 weeks. So I would leave work, travel, maybe I'd get out a little early on a Friday, travel, let's say, to Ohio, arrive there at 10 at night, have meetings all day Saturday, meetings, you know, some meetings on Sunday, maybe preach a sermon on Sunday morning, get in the car in the afternoon, head back home, get home between 8 and 10 at night, and then the next morning at 6:30, 6:45, I'm back in the plant.
Wow.
I did that week after week after week after week after week. And it has a toll on you. And what I didn't realize was, so what it did for me was I wasn't getting the chest pains and the stuff that I had earlier. It drove me into a burnout where I was miserable. My family didn't want to be around me. The people at work didn't want to be around me, and I wasn't able to work through the problems. I wasn't thinking clearly. I wasn't sleeping well, and literally I was burning out. And it's interesting, one of the things that Michael Hyatt identified is that there really is this point where we lose our productivity the longer we work. And it is somewhere around the 10-hour-a-day point where our productivity dramatically falls off. Our cognitive thinking dramatically ends. So the point is, we need to get rest. We need this time to rejuvenate. And overcommitment steals your productivity. So I ask the question of people, so do you track how many hours you work? Do you value the point that you're the first one in and the last one out? And if the answer to that question is yes, there's a problem because you're measuring the wrong thing.
Right.
And you're measuring hours, not productivity.
And I know you've even, you know, not only are saying this from your own experience, but you found some statistics that I'm hoping that you'll share, because this isn't just us telling you that you're losing productivity, but the proof is in the pudding here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, there's an organization called the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. So, basically, they are surveying the economically developed, or the developed nations of the world. So, for instance, in Greece, the average worker works 2,000 hours per year. So if you think about that, if there's 52 weeks, that's 2,080 hours at 40 hours a week. So perhaps they're taking out the normal holidays that would take place in a country, because we typically get somewhere between 8 and 11 holidays in our companies here. So let's say it's 50 weeks, they're working a 40-hour work week. Interesting thing is that the Germans, and trust me, having worked for a European company, I worked for a Swiss company for 8 years, they have a lot more holidays than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But even in Germany, the Germans only worked 1,400 hours in a year. So that's 600 hours less than the Greeks, but they were 70% more productive.
That's amazing.
So what they're saying is they were working less, but accomplishing more.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I found, so this isn't a statistic I found, this is something that I realized at SelfLock and in other companies where I managed. So let's say in companies typically put hourly people on overtime, the hourly workers love it because they get time and a half. But I noticed that after I had my folks working overtime for more than, so let's say they were working 50 hours a week. At the beginning of putting them on overtime, I got 50 hours worth of productivity. But over time, I got less and less because they found a way. And it wasn't that they were trying to be lazy. It's just they get worn out. And apparently, so one of the things the statistics Michael Hyatt gave was, he said that in 50 hours, we only yield 37 hours of productivity. And we get to 55 hours, our productivity for that week drops to 30 hours.
So much wasted time.
So the more... It is. Yeah. It's unbelievable what happens. So then we have to ask ourselves, so wait a minute, where did all the time go? So in another survey that I found, this was according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average American works 8.8 hours a day. Now, we should clarify that. They are at work 8.8 hours of the day. So they surveyed 2,000 full-time office workers, which was staggering, because what they found was 1 hour and 5 minutes of the day, these employees were spending reading news websites.
Wow.
44 minutes in their day was checking social media. 40 minutes in their day was discussing non-work-related things with other coworkers. This one was telling. 26 minutes in the day, they were looking for new jobs. Hello, why not just try to make the best of the one you have rather than look for a new one? 23 minutes on smoke breaks, 18 minutes making calls to partners or friends, 17 minutes making hot drinks. So just get them a Keurig, it's a lot quicker. Texting or instant messaging, 14 minutes. Eating snacks, only 8 minutes. I mean, come on.
I'm eating snacks than 8 minutes.
I am. Yeah. But I'm thinking, you're spending 45 minutes checking social media. Take some of that and eat. You know, go to lunch or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Making food in the office, 7 minutes. So the reality was, they're not working.
Right. I think if my math is correct, all this that's time like there. Over 4 hours right there.
Yeah, I think it was 3-point-something hours was the actual production time or productivity time that these workers had.
So of the 8.8-hour day, yeah, they're working less, right. They're productive less than half of that.
Right. So, and so what typically happens when employers see that? They begin to tighten the screws. They begin to find ways to discipline or make rules. None of them work. So the key here is, now again, I'm using some extremes and I realize that, but we are more productive when we make sure that we take time for good breaks, vacations. You know, you're gonna stay at the office till 7 or 8 at night. I guarantee you are not that productive and you are more prone to make mistakes. So what are we short? So you're shorting something. When Michael Hyatt did a talk at LeaderCast, Which is very similar to the Live to Lead that the John Maxwell team does. It actually was around before Live to Lead. But he, and there will be, I'll put the link again, the link in our show notes to Michael's podcast. And one of those is really his talk at LeaderCast. And he really talks about leaders needing to take care of themselves and the importance of not overworking, because he said, where are you shortchanging yourself? You know, somebody's losing. And he had this great way of putting it. And I want to find where I had that in my notes. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. He calls it self-care. And so the reality is, people say, well, you know what? I want to be successful. And so do you want to be successful in one area of your life or more than one area of your life? You could be really, really successful in your business career and completely destroy your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
He references Elon Musk. Yeah. And this was crazy. You know, I shared my notes with you where in 2010 interview with Elon Musk, Elon Musk said, you need to work 80 to 100 hours a week to be successful. His first wife, that tells us something, or his ex-wife, said he was obsessed by work. And he said that he could even email with his kids around. Like when he's with his kids, he could actually be emailing and it didn't affect anybody. Wrong. It affected everybody. He sleeps in his Tesla factory. He drank so much caffeine that he started losing his peripheral vision.
Wow.
And I think about, so how many, you know, young managers, you know, people that are trying to win big at work type of thing are pounding down energy drinks, pounding down coffee, just trying to find a way to stay engaged, to win, so to speak, at work. They're not resting. I had some notes and I don't know where they are now, but you know, that if we're sleeping only 5 hours a week after the fifth night, we begin to show signs, pre-diabetic signs.
Mm-hmm.
And our cognitive abilities can be almost reduced to almost the point of somebody who's intoxicated.
Wow.
That's just from a lack of sleep.
And I think what we're really trying to say here is it's not that we should be saying, oh, well, if I'm only productive half this time anyways, I should only have to work for 5 hours a day. I think what we're really trying to say is that, you know, if your work day is the standard, you know, say 8 hours a day that a lot of people, you know, have in America, then how to make the most of those 8 hours so that you are
exactly
both being as productive as possible at work, not active. We're not talking about activity, we're talking about productivity, but then how can you also be taking care of yourself? And so I think we've got, you know, some good ways to share to help do that. And so I was hoping we could jump to some of those. And we've talked about before,
sure,
practicing mindfulness and meditation. That's something
yes.
you can start during your day. But I think there are some other things that you can do during your day, such as, you know, take those scheduled breaks. Leave the office for lunch. Even if it's just to go to the parking lot, sit in your car and read or listen to a podcast or do something that is not work, that is not checking your email.
Sure.
Eat away.
Go to work. Go for a walk.
Go for a walk. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, eat away from your desk. Don't sit at lunch or don't eat your lunch sitting at your desk. These are, you know, there's, I know you've got plenty of ideas, but those are just some things that I am immediately thinking of that I know contribute to this loss of productivity and a loss of self-care.
Exactly. And so the first one that I really think we need to focus on is the piece of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Rest is critical for us. A nap can give you 40% improvement in creativity. Now, sorry, I'm not a person that can take a nap midday. some people can. And what happens is that they, you know, they can fall asleep and wake up quick. Michael Hyatt said that once he went through a crisis similar to mine, where he was having, he thought they were heart attacks, but they were panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And what he actually started doing was taking a midday nap in his office, mm-hmm. like 20 minutes.
Yep.
Because that gives your brain a chance to reset. What happens is after we take a rest, or when we are resting, our brain becomes better at problem solving, because this was a University of California at San Diego School of Medicine that talks about when we are in REM sleep, our brain is actually reconnecting synapses and develop. And again, I'm not a neuro expert at all, but our brain is taking all of the things that we've been exposed to since the last rest and putting it together and storing it where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So if we're not getting that rest, we're missing that. So the first thing you need to do is you need to rest. And if you do any, you know, all the searches that you, because I looked at a bunch of them, you need between 7 and 8 hours of rest for an adult per night. Now, you're going to get a lot less than this.
I mean, some people know they need more. I mean, I know that I actually need more than that. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, once you start practicing this, you'll figure out what that magic number is.
You'll figure out what you need.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think,
right.
So that's the most important thing too, is that you're getting that sleep at night, because that's when you go into the REM sleep. You're not going to hit
exactly.
that in a 15-20 minute nap, but those 15 and 20 minute right. naps are great. And I know you said, you know, you're not one who can do that, which is fine. It is hard for some people, but what you could do is, you know, use a meditation app and just
exactly.
use that as rest time. I mean, I've even started doing right. that with my daughter. I mean, she naps. She takes naps. But we do, she does rest time now, where she is alone.
Awesome.
She's alone in her yep. room, and she reads. Well, you know, she's two. So she
sure.
looks at her book.
She's looking at pictures.
And she does. Yeah. And I've noticed her creativity, and just about doing this for about a week now, her creativity is through the roof.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
With a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So think of what I can do for someone, you know, our age.
Yeah, well, your age. There's
a difference between
us. Forgetting half the things. There's a lot of years difference between us. But yeah, that resting. And another thing that I heard, so I had watched a TED Talk from a doctor that did a lot of brain studies and sleep studies. And one of the things she said was her husband is someone who clearly can't just nap. He wakes up groggy, which is me. I wake up groggy like a kid that didn't get a nap kind of mm-hmm. thing. She said, but what's good for her husband is just to do a change of pace thinking. Like the mindfulness is great. A walk.
A Sudoku puzzle.
Think about, yeah, something to take your, what we need to yeah. do is we need to have that break from our focused concentration on work. And it literally allows our brain to rest a bit. So that first one, because we have this myth that we can manage time. You can't manage time. You can only manage your energy.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you get enough rest. Make sure you eat. Make sure you eat right. Caffeinated drinks are not helping you. You only think they're helping you.
Right.
You know, they now I'm not saying you give up your soda and your caffeine. I mean, I love my coffee in the morning. I love the taste of my coffee in the morning. But don't use that as a stimulant to keep you going through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the right things, you know, and there's certain foods. And again, your mom could do a much better job than I can on this. But, you know, don't eat a bunch of carbs that are going to put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And don't skip meals. People that think they can skip breakfast and skip lunch and just grab a snack, you can't.
Yeah.
I had a scenario just today where I was dealing with a struggle with a coaching client. So I just didn't have an appetite when noon came around, but I have a can of peanuts in my drawer, and I grabbed a couple handfuls of peanuts just to get some protein into my system till I could clear my head, get away from work. And then when I came home, I ate something a little bit better. But so the eating part is clear. You know, exercise. Our brains begin to function better when we exercise as well. So these are just all those things. We already know it. We know that we need to take care of ourselves. We have to commit to doing it. One of the other pieces of advice that Michael Hyatt was giving, set hard boundaries around your workday and your weekends.
I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because if you weren't going to, I was going to.
Yeah. And for me, this is hard. And so when is it hard? It's hard when you love what you do. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not fully present for my family when I get home at 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night, shame on me.
Right.
And what Michael had to say was he loves reading leadership books, just like I do. But he said, I stopped reading them on the weekends because my brain needed to recharge. Mm-hmm. So he says, I do things with hobbies. His wife was quite an artist and paints. He said, I took up painting just as a way to rejuvenate his mind. And it's interesting. You'll love this one. He takes a 1 month sabbatical every year.
Wow.
And he said that if he looks back to his days, even when he started as the CEO of Thomas Nelson, when he realized the danger of him pushing so hard, which was actually before he became CEO of Thomas Nelson, once he changed his work habits, once he rested, once he guarded his evenings and his weekends, now there's always exceptions, but generally speaking, once he began to exercise and eat right, he said, my career took off, I was more productive. He was more successful, and his success isn't just in his business world. His marriage is stronger. He has great relationships with his kids. The company that he started 5 or 6 years ago, Michael Hyatt and Company, was, I think, Inc. Magazine rated. It was one of the top 100 fastest growing companies in the country. And this was another interesting thing. They, if you work for them as an employee, on your third work anniversary, you're eligible to begin taking 1 month off per year.
Wow. So he takes a whole consecutive month, like a true sabbatical.
A whole month. Mm-hmm. Yep, a full sabbatical, no emails. And when he says, when you're on that sabbatical, don't be thinking about ideas for work. Mm-hmm. He said, keep your mind resting, because when you come back, you have so much more energy, so many more ideas. Now, I can't do that. You know,
but you can try. You can do your, do your best.
Yeah. Our organization isn't one where we could make that happen at this point. No. Maybe someday I'll be able to.
But I mean, I took a 2 week vacation last year, and I took the email off my phone, totally yep. removed the account from my phone. I did not travel with a computer.
Awesome.
And you know, we were out of town as a family visiting my mother and father-in-law and my sister and brother-in-law for their wedding. And I didn't for 2 weeks. So I'm halfway there.
That's great.
And it was amazing. Oh, wonderful. So great. And I ever since then, all of my vacations, I take the email off my phone. I do check in. So I didn't bring my computer. I was traveling with someone who did have a computer on my most recent vacation. And so I was gone for almost 2 weeks again. So I think I checked in once or twice just to make sure there wasn't anything really important that I needed to forward to the person who was covering for me or something really urgent. But other than that, we said it before, if someone needs to reach you really urgently, they will call.
Exactly.
And that was exactly.
They'll find a way to get you.
They will find a way. They will send a courier pigeon. And you will be found. But yeah. And now on weekends, I've found that, and sometimes even during the week on nights, if I'm feeling too connected and too overwhelmed, I've turned my email off before. And it's really not rarely anything super important that comes through, but it's the distraction.
Sure.
And so I think that that's really important if you can do that, even if it's just for a day. I know people say, oh, you're crazy. I could never do that. But,
start small.
Imagine if you dropped your phone in the ocean and it was gone. I mean, like.
Yeah. And you know what?
Life
for folks
that
didn't grow up like this. Yeah. We never used to have them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first cell phone.
Yeah.
You used to have to. I remember when you had to go to payphones. Mm-hmm. Yes, there were phones you had to put. I remember when payphones were 10 cents.
Yeah. My dad always had a pager.
Yeah, that was that came a beeper. Yep. Uh-huh. I remember when I had to wear a beeper once for a job. Uh-huh. So the point is, if you overcommit, you're going to be less productive. Mm-hmm. Take the time off. Take your vacations. Go home. Have dinner with your family. You will not regret it. You get one chance in this life. Don't mess it up.
Yep.
And enjoy it. You know, I want to be successful in what I do. I want to have a positive impact in a lot of people's lives. So for me to do that, I have to be healthy. I have to be mentally sharp. But I also want my, you know, it's one of the things John Maxwell said when he said his goal in life is to have those that know him the best, love him and respect him the most.
Mm-hmm.
What a great goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm the type of person where my family can love and respect me the most because they know me the best, then I'm a person that's really going to be able to make a difference in the lives of those around me. And as like Michael Hyatt has shown, it will work out to be financial success for his organization as well. So don't overcommit. You might end up at St. Joe's thinking you have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, you're not going to be creative. You want to be creative? Take time off. Go back and listen to the episode about the daydreaming one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you take time off.
Yeah.
So, wow. This podcast went quick.
Yeah, we probably could have talked for a lot longer on this topic, but...
We probably could. It's a good thing I looked down. We're already at the end of our time slot.
I know.
So. Wow. All right. So, plans for the weekend?
Plans for the weekend? Nothing yet.
Okay.
Not too much.
I think we're going to have some kind of a picnic at my house on Sunday evening because I think it's going to be my nephew and his wife's last weekend here up north before moving back to Florida. So we're going to miss him.
Aww.
But I think we're going to do that. That's and then nice. I'm on vacation next week.
Oh, actually, guess what? So am I.
See there? It's the week of the 4th. So that's why we're going to have to record our podcast ahead of time.
Yeah. Right.
Which we're already doing.
Yeah.
Primarily because you're going to have a baby and nobody wants to hear me talk by myself. So. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And a wonderful rest of your week. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.